friends. Welcome to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Christy. We are two sisters who love Jesus, and we are committed to walking out our faith one step at a time.
This season, we will be talking about walking with the past, but pressing on towards freedom in Christ.
Welcome to the Walking with Kelly and Christy podcast. We are two sisters who have made a decision to walk out our faith with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Walking out our faith isn't always an easy task, and it does, in fact, come with a cost. And Kelly, we have discovered that with Jesus, there is a joy on this journey, and we have experienced abundance in His presence.
That's right, Chris.
We don't get it right all the time, but we believe that our spiritual growth is directly related to our personal walk with God. Walking is a step-by-step process, and the Christian life is a step-by-step, day-by-day process as well. We are so glad you have found this podcast, and we are excited to be walking with you today. Whatever your past circumstances might have looked like, whatever current struggle feels hopeless in this season, we invite you to keep walking because that's not where you have to stay. And in this season, we are choosing to focus on who God says we are as we press on towards true freedom in Christ, aren't we, Kel?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to read Philippians 3, 12 through 14. And it says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And that is what we are going to do in this season, Kel, yeah. Aren't we?
It's exciting, but it's also, sometimes we learn from looking back.
Right.
And sometimes we can see God's faithfulness over and over again when we look back and see where He's brought us from. And Chris, I was just thinking this week about how things from our past, circumstances, words that were spoken, experiences that we went through can shape what we think about. And, you know, we can even get caught up in what we believe about ourselves based on those past experiences. And it's not true. It's not true, but it seems true. It feels true in the moment when we have these voices in our head. Seems like it's true, but we need to practice and learn about what it means to renew our minds. And so, Chris, I was thinking just this week about some experiences in my past that why I remember them, I have no idea.
Right.
Like, they're not that significant. I was even sharing with my mom before this episode, and she had never even heard me speak of these experiences. But for some reason, I remember them, and they were significant in what I was thinking. But I remember in fourth grade, being in class, and there was a talent show coming up, and the teacher was choosing something for our class to do in the talent show. And she chose a certain group of girls to do a dance. Mm. And I was not chosen.
Oh.
And I just remember that, how I felt. I never spoke of it. I never told anyone. I don't think I cried. But I just remember holding that in my heart. Like, I wasn't good enough. And maybe in fourth grade, I was a little chunky. Chris, you and I swam competitively, so we had this short bleach blonde hair, and maybe I wasn't the coolest fourth grader wearing parachute pants to be in this dance, but I wasn't chosen. And it spoke to me. I held that in my heart. You're not good enough. You're not cool enough. You're weird.
It was impressionable. It left an impression.
It did. And then I remember in high school, you know, we've spoke about basketball, and part of our preseason training was we had to run a mile in under 8 minutes. And I remember being out in our neighborhood running that mile, and a group of boys went by in the truck, and they yelled out the window, "Thunder thighs."
Oh, Kelly.
And I held that. That was impressionable on my young heart about who I was. And you're not pretty. You're fat. You know, you're not. And so I shared those experiences. Those weren't even big life-altering experiences, but I remember those things happening to me. And as we approach this season, Christy, walking with the past, but pressing on towards freedom in Christ, sometimes we have to acknowledge some things that hurt us, right. Some areas where we believed a lie,
right.
And we have to confess that. We have to just take that to the feet of Jesus,
right.
And remind ourselves what is true. And I am not what those people said about me. I am not the fourth grader who didn't get chosen. What Jesus says, what God's word says, is that I am chosen. I am his workmanship, created for good works. And so we're starting this season, and we just want to grow in the area of pressing on towards freedom and teaching ourselves how we can renew our minds with the Word of God. And Chris, one of those ways just this week is I am being challenged to learn the I am statements, or some I am statements. And if you don't know what that is, that's just in God's word. He tells us some truths about who we are as his children and who we are as his friends. And those are truth. They don't change. And so this week I've been thinking about, pondering, studying, I am God's child. And not just memorizing it, not just, you know, learning this list so I can spout it off, but really slowly thinking about each I am statement. And this first one this week, I am God's child. And paralleling God as my heavenly father with my earthly heavenly father, and similarities and differences, but who God says I am as his child determines what I'm going to believe about it, about myself, and how I can walk in freedom.
Awesome, Kel. Well, I know that some of our listeners might not understand I am statements, but those are really just affirmation statements that you're talking about scripture and how I am a child of God. You're looking up scripture that proves that God does look at you as his child,
right,
and you are chosen. And I just wanted to give a plug for even another Bible study that I've done in the past, and it's called Finding I Am by Lisa Turkhurst. And it goes through the I am statements that Jesus, like the book of John is full of I am right. statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And I am the vine. And if Jesus said those things and taught by saying, I am this, then and spoke God's word, then we should be doing the same thing. And I think that's right. exactly what you're talking about yeah. with the I am affirmation statements. But Kel, I love that. We need to know scripture so that we can speak scripture. And we don't know how to do those I am statements if we don't know what God's word says.
That's
so
right.
So important. But I just wanted to share a story that I have been going through this week in the Keys to Freedom study, Kel.
So good.
And we've been doing this together with a group of ladies. And I just have a story to read, and then we'll relate it to what we're talking about. But in the Keys to Freedom, key number 2, renewing your mind. On day 2, page 47 of this Bible study, it says you have a choice. And I'm just going to read this. It says, some people think that they are the victim of their thoughts or that it's God's job to renew their minds. Ariana Walker, executive director of Mercy UK, tells of a dream she had during a difficult time in her life. This God-given dream helped her to understand the importance of being responsible for what goes on inside our own minds instead of assuming that God will do all the work for us. Just before she went to bed one night, Ariana was reading Psalm 23:5, and it says, "You prepare a banquet before me in the presence of my enemies." And in a dream that night, Ariana saw herself sitting at a large round dining table in a restaurant, and around the table were her guests: faith, hope, love, joy, peace, wisdom, and strength. And as they chatted, laughed, and sang together like the good friends they were, the scene was one of joy, fellowship, and friendship. As Ariana watched the scene in her dream, she became aware of 3 figures that stood over the shadows beside the bar. And wondering who they were, she felt God tell her that they were her enemies: fear, worry, and unbelief. These enemies stared at her with such hatred that it sent a cold ripple through her body. She asked God, "Why are they here? They don't belong in this place." And he answered, "This restaurant, like your life, is open to the public. Life on earth is an open space that can sometimes be visited by enemies, but who sits at your table is by invitation only." Even in her dream, the truth of that statement hit her like a ton of bricks. And as she continued to observe the scene, she saw herself become distracted by the figures at the bar. Each time she would steal a glance in the direction or cease the conversation with her companions, she could see them move toward her. And finally, fear stood directly behind the seat of faith, and the entire scene stood still. Everyone went quiet. The tension was palpable in the air, and as both fear and faith looked her directly in the eyes, then she heard the voice of God. "There are no more seats at your table, and faith will not share her seat with fear. So choose your companions wisely." Ariana woke up and realized the battles she faced would be won or lost in her mind and in her thoughts. And our external world will always be open to the presence of our enemies, but we decide what gets to sit down at the table of our thoughts. And Kel, that was just so powerful to me.
So powerful.
This week, because we do choose. We get to choose who sits down at our table. And there might be situations or circumstances that have come against us that we did not have control of. But how we respond, how we choose to forgive, how we choose to walk out this side of the situation and circumstance is going to make all the difference in the world as we press on and move towards walking in freedom in Christ. And so I just wanted to share that story before we go to a break. And after the break, I'm going to share a personal testimony of walking with a past. But be encouraged, our past does not define us. Well, Kelly, I just wanted to take a few minutes just to share a personal testimony about walking with a past. And before we went to break, I just reminded our listeners, though, to be encouraged because a past does not define us.
That's right.
And so as I get ready to share, I just want to say, but God, you know, He loves me. He created me for more than the choices that I've made in the past. He's created me for more than what I have believed about myself and the voices that I've heard from my past. And so I'm just going to dive right in and just share a couple stories. You shared some stories about you being younger. And, you know, the first thing I want to talk about is we grew up in a strong Christian home.
Yeah.
And we had models of parents that loved each other, that loved the Lord, took us to church. I knew Jesus. I gave my life to Christ at a very young age. But that does not mean that life did not come with struggle, that I did not have issues of, you know, identity where I didn't really know, I wasn't living in what Christ has for me.
Right.
And so the first thing I just want to share is, you know, after graduating from high school, we've talked about playing basketball, you've talked about swimming, but we also were tennis players. And I actually had a tennis scholarship to Charleston Southern. And I spent the first year at Charleston Southern, my first real experience of living on campus and out from underneath the wings of mom and dad. And to me, I think it probably was the first experience of maybe freedom, what I pictured as freedom, me making my own decisions, going places where I wanted to go, doing things that I wanted to do without necessarily the accountability of living at home. And with that just really came a lot of distractions for me. And, you know, I played tennis and got through the first year, but after year one, I truly was in a very, I don't want to say a dark place, but just distracted and didn't know where I was going, what I was doing, struggling with an eating disorder that I had kind of dealt with for a couple years, but it really had just been a secretive coping behavior that I had learned. I couldn't even tell you how that started or why that started, but in my mind, I was the only person that I knew that struggled with bulimia, which is binging and purging, and it seemed like such an out of control, like who does this, you know, struggle. And so, you know, after that first year, I dropped out. I literally had to go back home and just start working because school was not working out for me. And I remember that first voice that I'm going to speak of today, that I can remember the enemy just saying, "You're a failure. You're a dropout. You're a failure. Can't do this. You're not enough. You don't measure up," like those things, but a failure. I felt like a failure. And about the same time, I had been dating somebody who was an unbeliever. And I continued to just choose some negative vices in my life to cope with insecurities, body image, self-image, just real struggles that an eating disorder definitely, you know, kind of follows. You don't have a good, strong self-image or body image. But also, I wasn't really leaning in to my relationship with God. And so this relationship with, you know, an unbeliever, just I continued to make unwise decisions and, you know, really heartbroken that I made some decisions that would, you know, kind of hurt me in the long run and have to deal with consequences of for years to come, really. But so that second voice, Kelly, that I heard, that liar voice, just said, "You're a fake." And yeah, there were parts of my walk. I was still going to church. I was still involved in things, but I was not living I wasn't living like a Christian. Right. I was just walking, going through the motions. And so that voice, "You're a fake," that's the voice that I chose to listen to. And then a few years later, I met Mike, who is my husband today. And we dated, we got married. And, you know, although we did come to church, Mike got saved in the church, and we were outwardly, I think, doing some things that looked good. But on the inside, I really was a mess. And I had brought that brokenness of those couple things that I've shared, but really just struggles for years into a marriage. Mike brought struggles into a marriage, and we together had never really dealt with the hurts and the fears of our past, the bad mistakes, the wrong mistakes. And so after a year and a half of just struggling, I mean, I realized that we had not really confessed or surrendered, you know, those things. And marriage just kind of fell apart, and I found myself back home and, you know, back at mom and dad's, and just really in a broken, broken season. Just a hard feeling like a failure after separating. The voice I heard was, "You're finished." Like, I felt like the enemy had really gotten me on every area of my life. I felt like a failure. I felt like a fake. I felt like I was finished. And I found myself just really in a pit of despair. And about that time, I don't know if it was you and somebody you know, or mom, or somebody from church that found Mercy Ministries. And Mercy is a home for girls that deals with unplanned pregnancies, addiction, self-harming, eating disorders. Today, they've been around for 40 years. But in 2000, when I applied and got into Mercy, I just remember for the first time, God just really just allowing me to be at a place out of my comfort zone, away from everything I knew, away from everybody that, you know, knew me. Right. And it really was a time of, okay, God, this is my time. I'm surrendered. I don't have anything to bring. I am broken. I am a mess. And for the first time, though, in my life, walking through those doors, I felt like, this is a good place to be. Like, I was exposed. I was embarrassed. I was broken, but I also was surrendered. And I just want to take a minute to speak to brokenness and the pit of despair. If you've ever felt like you've hit rock bottom, you might know how I felt 23 years ago, but God. And when I walked through the doors of Mercy, it was like for the first time, I saw myself as a child of God. You talked about, I'm a child of God. Like, I began to learn healthy, pretty much keys. We've been talking about this keys to freedom study, and these are keys. These are foundational principles that I learned 23 years ago. But it was a surrendered heart. It was confessing sin that was, for years, just I had kind of stuffed and pushed and just thought, I can get through this, or if I just could do this, you know, myself, or work a little harder, or whatever, you know, I would be better. We kind of talked about this off the mic, just about, you know, you think getting married is going to fix a problem, or you think going to college, you know, a fresh start is going to fix an issue, or whatever your, you know, what you think is going to fix something in a season, unless you deal with the root issues, it doesn't fix it. It just continues to stuff it. And so, Kel, that's where I was, you know, 23 years ago. I spent 6 months at Mercy. And like, you know, we've talked, I completely went through counseling and daily just learning how to walk out what faith really looks like, and recommitted my life to Christ while I was there, relearned how to eat healthy without having anxiety over every meal or premeditating what I was going to eat.
Right.
Like you just, that cycle of crazy is what I felt was just, God began to just peel back the layers and just heal the brokenness of broken areas.
And Chris, for those of us who were here and we were watching you and we loved you and we were so excited that God had brought you to this place, it's kind of like the first time you felt the freedom to be honest. And I know that I've just been learning that truth-telling, that's where it starts. When we can tell the truth to God, then He can take that point and we can go somewhere from there.
Right. And the truth is, He already knows. Like, right. I don't know why we think that we have to hold on to the broken, to the difficult places, because He already knows. But God being the God that He is, He doesn't force, you know, our surrender. He doesn't force us to come and change our attitudes or our beliefs or our issues. I mean, He transforms us when we come to Him and just let Him bring things to light. So, yeah, I mean, that was such an amazing time. And I'm so thankful that the things that I learned way back then just were foundational as I moved forward and walked, you know, back with the Lord. And, you know, when I graduated, we didn't have FaceTime and all those things 23 years ago. But God, in those 6 months that I was there, I mean, I was working on me, but God was working on Mike even back here, and gave him a heart to forgive and just to see that there were things we both needed to do in a marriage. And God absolutely restored and redeemed that relationship. And when I graduated from Mercy, the day I did, we also renewed our vows. And so it was a new beginning to come back and just start a life together again. And I wish I could say over the last 23 years that, you know, we had arrived back then, and now we've been walking in absolute bliss. But we know that life, every season, has something else to deal with and invite God in. And so it's been a process.
We're
We continue to talk about a process. But I just wanted to say that, you know, just bringing things to light, going through that healing season, the new voice of truth that I began to hear and listen to was one that said, you're free, you're forgiven, you are loved, you are chosen. And you talked about those I am statements and those affirmations and renewing our mind. And John 8:31-32 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's exactly where we are. That is, my past is a part of my story. And, you know, I think just working even in a hospital now, and I'm surrounded by brokenness and hurting people, I am so thankful that God allows me to remember yeah, my brokenness and beautiful. See brokenness and hurting people and be able to respond in love, with patience, and just with, I see potential. Like I think God has allowed me to see potential in others because he sees so much potential in me and you and our listeners. And
Chris, you are beautiful. Oh. You are beautiful. And the transparency, the work that God has done in you, beautiful. It's shining bright.
Oh, thank you.
And just kind of a, it's not a fun fact, but in the midst of that hard time, you know, I had Gracie, and her real name is Kristen Grace. Aww. After Christy, who was at Mercy when she was born. And so it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. Another fun fact, my roommate, while I was at Mercy, was pregnant and had a daughter while I was there around the same time as your Gracie. And her name is Kristen Grace.
That's crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
God is so good. Well, you know, I think another scripture that I'm just reminded about is that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And Isaiah 55, 6 through 11 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for what I sent it."
Mm.
That's a good word.
Yeah. So good. So good, Chris. I'm excited about this season and just continuing to walk. Just walk. It's a process towards freedom in Christ. So as we wrap up today, we always like to leave you, our listeners, with something. And today we'd like to leave you with an affirmation statement. And we hope you'll think about it, meditate on it, and speak it out loud over yourself. And that comes from Ephesians 3:12. And the statement is that I may approach God with freedom and confidence.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, until next time,
keep walking.
Rooted Studio.